Let's welcome in our guest, Mr. Mike Jacobson, State Senator here for District 42. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just great. How are you guys?
We're good. Do you get to enjoy a lot of Nebraska Land Days? I mean, obviously you're not in session, so that helps.
Well, that helped, yes. And yes and no, I was here for some of the activities, but I had actually two board meetings that fell right on top of Nebraska Land Days. So I was in Chicago for a couple of days for a Farm Foundation meeting.
That's right.
And then here for the concerts, Julie and I were in Colorado Springs for a board meeting for the Federal Home Loan Bank. And although it was a great setting, we were also in meetings most of the time. And so it caused me to miss some of the activities here. But we were here for the parade. We were here for our Platinum Night. And so I did go to one night of the rodeos. And so good time. Speaking of Nebraska Land Days, I got to tell you, that is clearly the hardest working board of any board around. These guys, and David Fudge has done truly remarkable job of taking what was a great celebration and elevating it to another level. And so if you look at the new building out there today for the acts to be in, well done, well orchestrated, we really have quite an event out here and we all should be proud of it. And you look at the economic impact the Nebraska Land Days has on this region, it's tremendous. So again, my hat's off to David Fudge, Nebraska Land Days Board, the Cody Cavalry, the Rodeo Committee. Thank you for all of your work.
Yeah, I believe he told me before we went on stage Saturday that the rodeo attendance was up, I want to say something like 12%. I shouldn't even quote him, but it was up. And he said they're on pace for double-digit increases in attendance for the concerts. So they just keep getting better. I don't know how they do it, but he just keeps getting better.
Well, like you say, the weather really helps.
Sure.
There was a string of years when the rain,
right,
you could count on the rain and the mud slop over there for the concerts. That never turns out well because usually the beer sales go up when that happens.
Yeah, and then the mud sliding happens after the beer sales.
That's right.
We've seen some videos of that over the years. State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us here this morning. Let's talk. We waded into this a couple weeks ago, property tax valuations. I know they just came out again. Everybody got their card in the mail.
Well, that's correct, and I guess I've written quite a bit about this, and there's going to be something in my article this week about it again. I still get a lot of questions. I see a lot of comments out there. So I've always kind of found that as a former teacher, you just have to over-communicate. And
right.
So I want to caution people again to, first of all, the assessor's not the bad guy. The county assessor is following state guidelines that are out there in terms of valuations. One of the responsibilities is that we need to get valuations uniform across the state so that we understand that the valuation of the tax base is consistent. And let's remember that our tax base is everything that was here last year, plus anything new that was built, plus any increases in values of what was here before. And that is what grows our tax base.
Mm-hmm.
Our tax base is one half of the equation when we come to determining what your property taxes are. So just because your property value went up, and let me just tell you, people have said, well, my value went up 11%, and I didn't do anything to my house. Yeah, that's probably true. But the reason your home went up in value is because there is such a shortage of housing, and there's a shortage because the cost of new housing is so high and the cost to remodel is so high that the values have all gone up. If you question whether that value is correct, I would suggest call up your local realtor, have them come take a look at your house, and I'll bet you they will sell your house for more than its tax assessed.
Right.
They will sell it for more than tax assessed value.
Right.
I will tell you, and if that isn't the case, then you need to appeal that valuation to the county, and the county commissioners will work as a board of equalization, and they will review your appeal, and you'll need to bring justification for why that value is too high. And if you disagree with the county board of equalization, you can appeal it to TERC, the tax equity, review committee at the state level, and they can overrule the county. So there is an appeal process, but I'm just telling you, before you start the appeal process, you might talk to a realtor and ask them, what do you think my house is worth? And I'll bet you they'll tell you it's worth every penny that it's a tax assessed at. With that said, just because your value went up, let's also remember that in October, all the local taxing authorities, and let me just also stress, the state does not assess a property tax. These are all local taxes. The biggest one's the school district,
right,
county, city, airport authority, ag society, on down the community college, on down through. Those are your local taxing authorities. Those local taxing authorities are going to set their budgets in October. You will be invited and be notified of when they're going to have their budget meetings. If you're concerned about what they're spending, you ought to attend those meetings and hear what they have to say. Once those budgets have been set and approved, then they send those budgets on to the treasurer, and the treasurer then is going to take a look at what that budget amount is. They're going to look at the assessed value of all the property that's located in an area that's subject to that tax. So, for example, if I live outside the city limits of North Platte, then North Platte city taxes don't apply to me. If I live outside the North Platte Public School District, then that district doesn't apply to me, but Hershey or Brady or one of the other right. school districts would. So our taxes will be a little different because our consolidated mill levy will be all the mill levies that are needed from all of those taxing authorities where I live. And then that number, they take that number against the tax base property valuations, all the collected property values, and then they set the mill levy. And then the mill levy says we need this many, that we need to have the mill levy set at this in order to produce enough revenue to fund the budgets of those taxing authorities in that particular area. That's how it's done. You'll get a tax notice then later, probably in November. Your taxes are due in December, and they're not delinquent until first half, May 1st next year, and the second half, September 1st of the following year. So that's how it works on the property taxes. So don't get concerned about the first equation. Get concerned about the second one. Now, I'm also going to tell you that when you start looking at the taxing authorities and you start looking at what dollars they want, the school district is the largest. They get roughly 50% of your tax bill in most cases. Mm-hmm. It kind of varies about around the horn here, but generally it's about 50%. Why are they getting 50%? There's two reasons for that. Number one, they have a number of federal mandates in terms of what they have to teach. They also have a mandate in terms of, you know, there's a limitation on class sizes and so on.
Right.
And frankly, they have a very large payroll because of the teachers that they need to have there. And I don't think anyone is going to make the statement that teachers are overpaid, okay? In fact, I would also tell you that there's a severe shortage of teachers, just like there are a severe shortage of nurses in many other professions.
Right.
So if you're going to get more teachers in the profession, you're not going to do it by lowering their wages, okay? And with inflation, and like the rest of us, if we're having increases due to inflation, then you have to start looking at wages moving with the rate of inflation. And so suddenly you can see the problem here that they can't sit here and, quote, cut their taxes if most of what their expenses are fixed overhead and labor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's part of the dilemma. I'm not saying there aren't some expenses that can be cut, but it's not going to happen on the labor side.
Right.
Okay. So, but nonetheless, educate yourself as to where the dollars are going and what they're doing. So then what can the state do? Well, I thought Todd Von Kampen had a very good article in the Telegraph over the weekend. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to read it. He had a very good article talking about what the state has done this last year in terms of new funding to public schools. Keep in mind that the state of Nebraska, and this is how we can do something to impact your property taxes. Nebraska was ranked 49th in the country in the amount of state aid to public schools. So what was happening was, since the state wasn't providing as much money to the public schools, the only place they can get the money from is property taxes. So by the state bringing in significantly new, more dollars. And most importantly, many of the school districts in District 42 are not equalized, meaning they got no state aid at all. Well, now those schools are going to get $1,500 per student in foundation aid, plus some special ed aid and some other aid. So you're seeing, and the numbers I looked at, and the reason I voted for that bill and really promoted the bill, was we're going to see significant new dollars going to all of the smaller school districts in District 42. North Platte Public will get additional funding, but it won't be as significant as all of the other smaller schools in the district. And so that should equate, and the expectation by the legislature is, with this new money, we're expecting your budgets to be limited to 3% increase in growth plus the rate of growth of your student population. And by doing so, the expectation is that this new money coming to the school districts will translate into a smaller property tax ask, which means your mill levy would go down from the school district. That's what the goal is. That's what the state's doing. Additionally, the state is also going to continue to provide the income tax rebate, which is a rebate. Whether you pay taxes or not, you can apply for this from the, at the state level, and it's rebating. Last year, we rebated 30% of what you paid towards towards school district and your local community college. Going forward, it will be at least that amount because we're putting more money into that rebate fund. And one last thing on that subject is community colleges. We will be removing community colleges from the property tax rolls. So what that means is we'll start by starting next year, so in 2024, the state will fund the operating needs for the community colleges. Okay. And it'll be based upon their historical budget plus a 3% growth, or a roughly 3.5% growth. However, in the case of Mid Plains, their property taxes, they've been asking for less in property taxes, and they've been spending less than the other community colleges. So they will get a larger amount of state aid. So they'll get more than what they were getting in property taxes because the board here was very frugal and managing this community college very efficiently. The only thing that will continue on the community college side is any existing bond issues that are out there. Those will still be paid for by property taxes until the existing bond issues are paid off. Yeah. And then any new bond issues would have to be revenue bonds, meaning you don't pay for that with property taxes.
Okay.
Very good. A lot of good information here. You also talked a little bit off air, and I apologize if this isn't the right word, but is Epic Tax, is that right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of talk. I know now that everyone's really upset about their property taxes going up. Well, gosh, let's go look for the magic bullet that's going to fix all this. You know, let's go to some other tax. And so,
why is it always a tax?
Well, it is. It always is. And it's revenue neutral. Okay. So all we're doing is it's a tax shift. Okay. So what's it shifting to? Well, nobody really knows for sure. Okay. I mean, you come
that's
to me.
That's the experimental part of it.
That's the experimental part of it. I mean, if you come to me and say, Mike, you don't have to pay property taxes on your home, on your farm ground. You don't have to pay any income taxes. Hey, that sounds like great news. That just sounds like great news. But so who's going to pay that then? What's that going to get shifted? Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I mean, you know, we'll just charge on consumption. If you don't buy it, you don't have to pay the tax. I mean, it sounds like a pretty simple concept. Except you do have a lot of young families and a lot of low and moderate income people who are growing families, and they're buying homes and they're buying cars and they're paying tuition. And I'm just telling you, if you want to figure out what it's going to take to replace all of the income tax and property tax and sales taxes being collected today, we will be, and let's face it, the Epic tax, or the consumption tax, is you will pay a tax on every new item that you consume, okay? Every. And it's not just items, but services. And that's where the key comes in, services. So you'll be paying a tax on your prescription drugs. You'll be paying it on dental services, medical services, new houses, new cars, new anything. There will be this tax. The estimated number that's being purported is 7.5%. Now, I'm not a genius, but I'm just going to tell you that if the state income tax currently is 5.5% on what we're charging sales tax on today. It's hard for me to believe that you go up 2% and charge it on services and you make up all of these other taxes. So the state chamber estimates that it would be 15% to 20%. I think those numbers are pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But let's just use, for example, let's say it's 10%. Let's go, it's easy figuring, 10%. So if I wanted to go buy a new home, I bought a $300,000 home. Then let's say that I put 10% down, but you really need to put, should put 20%, but you're going to pay private mortgage insurance if you put 5 or 10%. Let's put 10% down. So you put 10% down, you're going to need $30,000 down payment. Okay, but then you're also going to have to pay that 10% Epic tax on the purchase of the house. So that's another $30,000 at closing. And then you're going to have to pay 10% Epic tax on the mortgage. And so your mortgage now is going to be $290,000, so that's $29,000 additional that you have to come up with at closing. And then if it went through, you got closing costs, so the title insurance premium, you'll pay 10% on that. And so pretty soon you buy a $300,000 home and you're paying over $100,000 in closing costs. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you people have a hard time coming up with 5 or 10% down, certainly struggle to come up with 20% down, and all of a sudden you got to come up with 30% at closing with a 10% down payment because of the taxes. You're not buying a house, okay? And so some say, well, yeah, but over the life of the home, you'll get all that back in property tax savings. And I would say that's a little bit like saying, if you go from the Rocky Mountains to the Grand Canyon, on average, it's flat, okay? They're just a big bump along the way and a little bit of a ditch along the way, okay? You still got to come up with that money up front. And some people say, well, finance it in. No, no, it doesn't work that way. Because keep in mind, when a bank makes a loan on a mortgage, those generally are sold to the secondary market. That's a uniform system across the country. Well, the appraiser's going to appraise the house, and the mortgages have to be underwritten based upon a percent down on the market value of the home, not all the fees and taxes you pay up front.
Right.
If you're a car dealer and you're selling new cars, and you're going to have to charge a 10 or 15% tax up front, but I can go to South Dakota and buy the car there, or I can go to Kansas, Colorado, any state around here and buy the new car, I can save 10 or 15% off of the sticker or off of whatever the final negotiated price is. Am I going to buy them in Nebraska? Probably not. In fact, I would be willing to bet that many of those cars will get, they will sell them to themselves, the dealers in another state, and drive them to their dealership here. And it'll be a new car with 50, or it'll be a used car now with 50 miles on it. And there won't be a tax paid on the used vehicles. So the problem with all of this is it's experimental. Okay, if you want to go to a consumption tax, the last thing you want to do is say, since no other state in the union is doing this, okay, and we're going to be the first, and we're going to dive in, and oh, by the way, we're going to make it a constitutional amendment, so you can't change it, you have to live with it. I can't get there, nor can anywhere close to the majority of the legislature get there, because it's just irresponsible. I mean, I think if you want to go out and experiment with this, and let's face it, it's a sales tax. So then if we want to do that, then significantly increase the sales tax or broaden what the sales tax are going to, what we're going to pay sales tax on, because that's what a consumption tax is. And let's move into it over time and let's see how that's going to work. And then if we get to a point to where it works, then maybe you make a constitutional change at that point. But I don't think you do it when you're in the experimental phase. And that's clearly where we would be. And I think that when you look at any kind of pushback on sales tax, the pushback has always been, what segment of the population gets hurt the most? And if we want to encourage young people to move here and to stay here, that would fly in the face of it. I'd have a lot of concern about that. Now, with that said, are there still things we need to do to get property taxes lower? Absolutely. I think the strides that were made this year are significant. I would tell people, be patient, give this another year or two. I think you're going to start seeing the significant impact that we're having on reducing property taxes, shifting it more to the state's income and sales tax receipts. And I think over time we will see sales tax go up, because I think the thinking when the sales tax was first brought in was that sales tax, property tax, and income tax, they would each represent about a third of the taxes collected. Right now, sales tax are way under that number. So I would expect that we will see an increase in sales tax, but not to the point where it would totally eliminate the other two forms of taxation.
Senator Mike Jacobson with us. Well, we've run out of time. Anything else you'd like to mention here this morning?
No, I'm still out and about. I'm going to be planning to go to the parades, and we're going to be at Sutherland here the 4th of July, and looking forward to meeting people there. Right now, it's just a matter of trying to get out and about and meet people and get face-to-face. I've been communicating to a lot of people. I'd like to have them communicate back to me and tell me what's on their mind. So they can give me a call at area code 402-471-2729, or they can email me mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov.
Very good. Well, thank you for coming in. It's good to see you as always, and we'll talk to you again next week, all right?
Thanks a lot. See you guys.